doesn't pay to turn two pages at one time. Actually, the men's quartet was supposed to sing this morning, and our high tenor Brian woke up with that flu bug or whatever it is he has here. So I know I'm big enough for four, but it wasn't four of us up here. My son was talking about in Sunday school. Nathan was talking about anthropology, according to the Bible, of course. And he was talking about that Joel J. Vern McGee said we were worth about $3.38 or something like that. But I said, there's more of some of us, you know, so we're worth a little bit more. He says all the elements in it were about $3.48 worth of dirt. Well, I got a lot more dirt than the rest of them have. But anyway, let's take our Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 20, if you will. Exodus chapter 20. We're working our way. We have some visitors here with us this morning. We started some months ago, actually back before the beginning of the year. We started out with a verse of Joshua 1:8, which says, this book of the law, speaking of the word of God, the Ten Commandments, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It says, don't let it slip out of your mouth. Just keep muttering it over to yourself. When it says not depart, means to talk to yourself, to mutter, to just keep reminding yourself. This is what we got to do. By the way, sometimes if you're going to stay away from sin, you're going to try to do right, you got to keep telling yourself. I don't know about, have you ever gotten in saying you're going to the grocery store? Okay, milk, eggs. You know, why don't we just write it down? I don't know. But, you know, we're putting it over our head and we're trying to remember it because we don't want to forget. That's the way the Word of God should be in our heart. We don't want to forget because if we forget, we're going to be in trouble. If my wife sends me to the store for the milk and the eggs and the cheese and I forget, I'm going to be in trouble. No, she's not the type. But I want to make sure I remember because I don't want to get in trouble. Well, listen. God wants to make sure we remember His Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Keep putting in your head day and night. Don't let it slip out. Don't let it get away from you, because we want to do what the law has told us to do, to observe to do according to all that's written therein, because then we have this guaranteed, this formula for a guaranteed success. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's the way the verse goes. Joshua 1:8. Mark it down. Memorize it. Start that memory with that one right there. Now, the book of the law was, of course, it would include the Ten Commandments. So, well, we're living in the New Testament, the age of grace. We don't have to worry about that. Jesus said He didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. The law was not bad. In fact, the law was kind of the minimum requirements. The law is the minimum requirements. Don't do this. We say, well, we live in the age of grace. Grace actually asks for more. Because by grace we're saved, and by grace we grow in Him. By grace, by the Holy Spirit, we become more like Him. He gives us the understanding, the wisdom, and the power, if we yield to Him, to live the way we're supposed to live. And if that's the case, we won't break the law. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He says, well, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. The second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two laws, he said, hang all the law and prophets. If we would love God and love others, we don't have to worry about saying, well, see, I'm going to make sure I don't kill anybody today. We'll say, well, of course not. Well, you'd be surprised. Well, I'm going to make sure I don't lie today. If I love him, I'm not going to lie to him. That doesn't mean, boy, you look bad today. You don't have to say everything you know. But when you talk, tell the truth. You know what? Watch this. If I love somebody, I'm not going to be snooping around my neighbor's door looking for his wife. Hello. If I love, I'm not going to do that. So we came to Exodus chapter 20, and we're talking about right there are the Ten Commandments. And we've gone through that we're supposed to have the Lord, one God, no other God. By the way, we went through it last week there. The Lord, He is God. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It means Jehovah. Doesn't mean Allah. Doesn't mean Krishna. Doesn't mean we're all the same. We all worship the same God. That's not true. I'm sorry. Now, we don't have to be mean, and we shouldn't be out there killing anybody over it. That's what we're supposed to do. That's flesh, too. That's wrong. Love thy neighbor, okay? Love your enemy. There's other religions that say, kill your enemy, then we won't have any more enemies. Abraham Lincoln said, you know how to get rid of your enemies? Make them your friend. You know how to get rid of sinners? Lead them to the Lord instead of complaining about them. Okay, but now he says we have one God. There's one God, and Jehovah's the God. We don't make up any other gods. Don't create any other gods. Don't make something, bow down to them. Hold God in great respect. Don't use his name in vain. And by the way, then put your faith in God to practice. That's what the Sabbath day is all about. And then it says, honor thy father and thy mother. That means fathers and mothers, if you go back and read it and you study, we were there, they're supposed to be teaching all these things to our kids to pass them to the next generation. He says, kids, listen to mom and dad. When they tell you what the word of God says, listen to it and obey it and don't fight against it. Don't resist it. And then we came to thou shalt not kill. We talked about that. And last week we were at verse 14. And I told you I didn't get finished. So here we are. Verse 14, Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, folks, I ended last week, and I want to say it again. I love every one of you. You say, well, you're talking about just your members. I'm talking about everybody that's in this room. You may be coming, this may be your first time. You say, well, you don't love, listen, God loves us. We ought to love everyone. We need them. I'm not saying I agree with everything. You don't agree with everything. You may not agree with everything I do. But I love you, and I want what's best for you. Honest, I do. And so because of that, we're going to talk about some things here this morning. So thou shalt not commit adultery, number part two there, Mr. Jack. Let's pray. Hang tight with me. Hang tight with me. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for the promise of blessings, promise of making our way prosperous, promise of helping us have good success, not necessarily wealth, but being able to look around the room and know that your children are all part of children of God as well as our children, seeing a peace and a quietness in life, a fulfillment and a relationship with you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll meet with us here this morning. We need your blessings. I need your Holy Spirit to move. You know, Lord, with all my heart, I don't want to hurt anybody. I want to help. I just hate to see what sin does to families, does to people. Kill something. The wage of sin is death. Something's going to die when sin shows up. Maybe a marriage, maybe a family, and maybe life itself. But sin just beats us up. Lord, I want to see our folks not just survive, but thrive. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. In Christ's name, amen. Last week we started this, and the first question we came to was, well, what is marriage? God brought Eve to Adam. Didn't take her out of his head so she would lord over him, take him out of his feet, that he would walk over her, but took him out of the guarding of his heart, that rib that protects the most vital organs, that keeps him alive. He said, I need her to be someone who's going to be that help meet for him. That one that surrounds, that multitasker that takes all those things when the guys can't think of more one thing at a time. The one that's the opposite. Meet meaning fit because it is the opposite of. Again, think about the extension cord. There's a match because it's exactly opposite to what's in the wall. The woman's the nurturer. They have kids and the kid falls out of the tree, and dad says, get up, shake it off, walk it off, it'll be all right. You got blood going out of me, walk it off, it'll be okay. Meantime, you got mom saying, come here, we'll kiss it, make it better, it's good. Here, you just take it, you let mommy take care of it. You know what the kid needs both? One, the kid needs to know that somebody loves him, cares for him, is going to take care of him. But that kid, one of these days, is going to know that, you know what, if we have to go to war, I'm just because I broke a finger, I'm not going to roll over and die. Sometimes life is hard, and you got to be safe. We've got to be able to pick ourselves up, brush ourselves off, and go. Balance. It's all part. Not one's not right or wrong. Marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Jesus His calling and election is sure, is sure, without repentance. In other words, God, you become God's child. He doesn't kick you out when you do something he doesn't like. He paid for all your sins, every single one of them, even the ones you haven't even messed up well on that's coming down the road. He had to pay for all that. Didn't pay for all of them. No sense paying for any of them. Break the law at one point, you're guilty of all. He paid for all of them. Listen, we didn't just have him. When we pray to receive Christ, we're not just asking him to pay for the sins we've already committed. We're asking for him to forgive us for the fact of who we are, sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That's who we are, and we will be. Yet God is making us new every day. And if we walk in the Spirit, not in the works of the flesh, we will fulfill what the Spirit wants. The more that we walk in him, the more we'll fulfill. The more we'll see the law of joy, peace, long-suffering, all the fruit of the Spirit. The more we walk in the flesh, the more you're going to have the sins of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, which is what it starts with right there in Galatians 5. Marriage has a lot to do with the physical act. There's a union, consummating the marriage. Now, I know we've got some teens in here and some others. I do know, because a lot of our teens sit over here, I'm talking about, but I do know that you're being taught a lot of things elsewhere, one way or another, whether it's TV or by the friends or maybe in your own house. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying I want us to see what God wants, because he wants you to have victory. He wants you to have a great life. The heartache, the trouble that you may find as being normal is not supposed to be normal. You know, when I was growing up, I used to be told that people, in fact, people laugh at me because it's like, you got your head in the sand. Life isn't like that. Well, it is where I live. And it could be where you live. The problem is, we're living like the rest of the world's living. We're getting what the rest of the world gets. We got to change some things. The Bible said that they were made one flesh. He said if a man is joined to a harlot, a loose woman, physically, he's now one flesh with her. So the fact is, I'm not trying to be indiscreet, and I know this might be a difficulty. You say, well, you're doing this from the pulpit. I can't believe the preacher talking about this from the pulpit. This is why we have a problem in society, because no one's talking about what the Word of God is supposed to say. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. And that includes, don't commit adultery. You're asking for trouble. We're asking for problems. Now, listen, there's so much of this in our world. I understand that. But his mercies are new every morning. We do not have to stay there. Everything can change the moment right now when we make a decision. We're going to do things differently. The world says adultery is not as bad as some sins as long as between consenting adults. Is it sin? It's still sin. The world says it's okay just to look, but don't touch. Well, that's what it sounds like in Exodus. But when we get the time of grace, and what did Jesus says in Matthew, you've heard, you know, it says that, a man should not commit adultery. But he says, if a man looks on a woman and lusts in his heart, he's committed adultery already in his heart. The sin occurs in the heart, doesn't it? The sin that happens outwardly is an outward expression of the sin that's already in the heart. Now watch me. Ladies are ladies. Men are men. Ladies, don't try to make your men ladies. Men don't try to make your ladies men. I didn't marry a man. I wanted a woman. But she's different. She's not going to think like you. She's not going to do that. Now, the fact is, it is what it is. And our society is trying so hard to get rid of what they call its stereotypes. Why do you think they're stereotypes? Because that's the way we are. That's the way God made us. You throw a bunch of little kids in a nursery, and you've got baby dolls and trucks. 99% of the girls are going to go over to the baby dolls, and 99% of all the boys are going to be looking at the trucks. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. A new baby shows up. Other than Darren Russell, all the ladies go over and look at the baby. Darren goes with them too. He likes to hold a baby. But anyway, you're there. Yeah, I know. You're always over here. You're moving on me. You're messing me up, trying to throw me off. Your wife's not here to keep you straight. She's homesick. That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, the kids go look. The ladies all go looking for the baby. A monstrous truck shows up out front of the church. The girls are still over the baby. The guys are going. I'm talking about the 40-year-olds. No, I mean that's who we are. She's a help meet. She's different. Now, I'm saying this for this, ladies. We are made to be attracted one to another, but it works differently. Men, why do you think he said, men, if you lust in your heart, you look upon a woman, lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. This is why. Men are visually stimulated. Sorry. And the fact is, it may not mean a thing. Now, it's still sin. I'm going to say something. Please. Men are dogs. If they're living in the flesh, they're dogs. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. All right. Now we can live above that, and we're supposed to live above that, but from the baser sort, we're dogs. When I was in junior high, it's terrible. I remember boys saying, and I honestly didn't. My mama taught me better than that, but he'll say, well, she's pretty as long as you put a bag over her head. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. You know what that means? I'm trying to get to really understand this. It has nothing about you. It can be the point where it's just totally physical. It's still wrong. But it really can be. Now, don't use that as an excuse, guys. But it's still wrong. Now, watch this. Have you ever noticed some of the guys that women marry? I mean, look at me. Who'd marry this? But I tell you what, I know. I'm the smart one because I married up. But I tell you this, watch this. You know, you're the world to me, and you are. When we got married, I wrote her a song. And, you know, she's the wind in my sails and all that kind of good stuff, you know. And when we did a 25th anniversary here, I wrote a second verse. And anyway, she and women are more attracted to the relationship. A man sees a good woman walk past, and I hate to say, if he's living in the flesh, he's already ready. But a woman needs to know the person. Just as a man is attracted when he sees more of the woman he's supposed to, the woman is attracted when a man exposes his heart more than he should to someone other than his wife. That's when most women have gotten themselves in trouble. When you got some man, I'll give you a scenario. The man is having trouble with his wife. He's at work. The secretary, of course, when he left home, you know, she was coming out of the bathroom, you know, and, you know, didn't have her makeup done yet, and this and other thing, you know, also, you know, and, you know, still has morning breath. I'm just saying, we're all morning, you know, all human. He goes to office, and the secretary's already dressed herself up. And she's got her professional persona on. Because she's got to answer the phone. Good morning. This is so-and-so. How can I help you? And you walk in, and she says, oh, you okay? You look like you're down today. Well, you know what the old woman said. And he starts pouring out a bunch of stuff. He says, I know. I understand how you feel. And that happens time after time after time until he spent more time talking to this woman than he has to his wife. All of a sudden, he feels closer to her, and she feels like, oh, my, I could help him. Man, how many times have women married a project, a fixer-upper? I can help him. You know why she's like that? She's like that because God made her a help. And she wants, and says, my husband won't listen to him. I can't help him, but I think I can help this guy. And her heart starts getting, listen. Her heart starts to turn to this other guy. And all of a sudden they get some kind of connection. We start to envy. We start to get jealous. We start to covet something else that's not ours. And so all of a sudden, we're looking in the wrong direction for the wrong thing. And we've got a problem. Shouldn't have been looking. Neither way. This morning, I'm going to give you several things as quick as I can. How to stay away from adultery. Kids, goes for you too. You say, well, I'm not married. To do something now is kind of committing adultery with the spouse you're going to have later. Don't mess it up. There's something special about that physical relationship, and the world's stealing it from us. They're stealing it because they want you to give it away too soon. There's a connection that's supposed to be special. And I want you to keep it. So what, we love each other. Good. If you love each other, then you can wait. Then you can wait. It's good. It's kind of weird. It's like you're not married. And you're supposed to stay far apart. And as soon as you say, I do, and you've made that commitment to one another, all of a sudden, everything you were told not to do, you can do. In fact, the Bible says you're supposed to do. He says, your husband, your meat, he said, go be fruitful and multiply. Now, please, I know this is a little bit rough. I got visitors here this morning, of all things, you know, but I want to help you here. And this is something that is tearing our world apart. How to stay away from adultery. First thing, letter A. Ready? Don't look. Don't look. Now, there's going to be a lot of scriptures. I'll give you the reference. If you want to find them as we go along, that's fine. You can write them down. James 1:14. There's a principle right here. And you have to get this principle. The rest of it makes sense. You get this principle. James 1:14. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now the point is, he says, we are every man, and by the way, that's a general term, means you ladies too, are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. There's a couple steps here. One is something comes into our range of experience. We see something, we hear something, we in the midst of doing something. And our natural lust, we're sinners by nature, okay? We're sinner by nature. We're not saved by nature. We're not sanctified by nature. We're sinners by nature. And sometimes things are sin only because they're out of place or at the wrong time. The actual act is not a sin. You say, well, it's not wrong between two consenting adults as long as they have consented to be one with each other for the rest of their life. And they're man and a woman. But we're drawn away of our own lust, and our lust entices us. Now watch. Guys, a good-looking woman walks by, and you see her. I've got a choice. I can watch and linger. The lust occurs, but do I allow it to stick around long enough to entice? There's a difference. There's some things we know we have to look. Listen, and by the way, every man, I don't care whether he's 18 or 89, he still thinks he's 25. You say, he's a dirty old man. He's still 25, not a dirty old man. His eyes. But guys, wait a minute. So I can't do anything about it anyway. Yeah, but you're considering your heart anyway. So he sees something that his lust likes. And by the way, the Bible calls them our deceitful lusts. They lie to us. You know what? Life would probably be better if you were with her. Your life would be better if you were with him, ladies. They lie to us. If we linger, then we're enticed. So we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. When we are enticed, it says it brings forth sin. Sin is point. The enticement says, you know what, you know what, you know what. Oh, I'm thinking of something I shouldn't have thought. Now I'm in the sin. And when sin is conceived, okay, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's done with you, if you live out that sin, it brings forth death. Now the soul that sinneth, this shall die. There is the ultimate idea that wages of sin is death. Separation from God. Sin may be I get into something and I get some kind of disease and I physically die. But sin also may, the death also may mean I go out and do something I wasn't going to do and I am going to kill a marriage that I've had for over 35 years. You got 36 coming in June, right? Is that right? You poor thing. 36 years. June 27th. Now, I could take those 36 years and kill it. Watch this. I've got 4 kids. 2 of them married, 3 grandkids, 1 on the way. You know something else I could kill real quick? With 5 minutes of glandular enjoyment. I'm not trying to be, I'm just trying to be real with you. I could destroy my relationship with my kids. You know what else I think? The marvelous work that the Lord has been doing here would also come to a screeching halt. Now, the Lord can bring things up, and he can bring up life out of the ashes, I know. But why should he have to? Why should he have to start over? How many people would walk away and say, well, that's what Christians are? I don't want any of it. Brings forth death. Now watch me. If that's the truth, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, then don't look. Don't get involved with it. Certainly don't go looking for it. But if it does show up, what do you do? Listen, TV. Whatever the sin is, whether it's adultery or whether it's killing or whatever it is, you can say what you want. I'll guarantee you there's more violence on the street because there's been more violence on TV. We're less affected by death and gore in reality because we see it all the time on TV. I don't look at the stuff, but society does. All kinds of media, internet, publications, catalogs. Sex sells because we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, my soul, I don't want to get any closer to that. If I look at that, we could get rid of it. Got to throw it out. Right away, because you see it's on my lip. Psalm 101, verse 2 says this, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, with a mature heart, with a grown-up heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I don't want to be around that mess. He says, I will not let it turn me aside. Those whose work have turned me aside. Listen, somebody's doing something that's getting my attention on them when it should have been on my wife. I ought to hate that. Because that is death to me. That is death to my marriage. That is death to my families. Well, you've got to think about yourself once in a while. That's usually our problem. Doesn't say, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And you first. Others. Job 31. Bible calls him the greatest man of the East at the time. God had blessed him. You know what Job, I tell you why, I think? Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You know, I used to think that phrase said, I made a covenant with my eyes, why then should I look upon a maid? Doesn't say that. Why should I think? See, that's the problem. It looks, but then instead of this book of the law not departing out of thy mouth, you know what we're thinking about? That little gal that lives across the street down here. He says, for what portion of God is there from above and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? In other words, what do you get from doing this? You get. He says, you don't gain anything looking at these girls. You don't gain anything reading these love novels, ladies. Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? That word strange punishment says an unexpected calamity. Oh, we can get away with this. It'll be all right. Oh, will it? You be surprised. The Bible says, be sure thy sin shall find you out. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? God knows what's going on. If I have walked with vanity or if my foot hath hastened to deceit, let me be weighed in any imbalance that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and my heart walked after mine eyes. See, look, my heart walked after my eyes. Don't look! If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart hath walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Let me lose. He says, I extend, I lose everything. I'll sow it, someone else gets to eat it. Let my offspring be rooted out. If mine heart hath been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait for my neighbor's door, looking for his wife, then let my wife grind unto another. She deserves somebody else. Let others bow down to her. For this is a heinous crime. That's what he calls it. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished of the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction and would root out mine increase. Don't look. Second, how to stay away from adultery. Stay away from people and things that tempt. Don't go looking. And if you look, turn away. If you see something, turn away from it. But secondly, stay away from people and things that tempt. Wrong places, wrong people. Romans 13:13 says this, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, watch, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. That word chambering means cohabitation, living in the same little chamber. When I was growing up, they called it shacking up. Not trying to be mean here, I'm not. We need to go back and look at it, not as the world looks at it. God forgives us. He loves us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, why do we have to make Him go through that? Why do we have to make us go through that? Why do we have to live in that mess? Why do we have to have that? He says, listen, walk honestly. You know what? Me run around behind my wife's back is not honest. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in other words, as where everybody can see in the day where the light is. Watch this. You shouldn't have any problem with your spouse seeing where you've been on your internet. Honestly, as in the day. You shouldn't have any problem with your spouse seeing who you've been talking to and texting and so forth on your phone. There's nothing to hide. We're doing wrong. We're constantly looking over our back trying to see if anybody's seen what we're doing. You know what? It's freeing to live in such a way as they don't have to look on the, they don't have to look over your back. And if they did, they have nothing to find. He says, not in drunkenness. By the way, that goes hand in hand with stupid stuff. Not in chambering, not in wantonness. That's out looking for immoral sexual activity. Not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, says Romans 13, 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He says, don't set yourself up for destruction. Don't set yourself up for sin. Because sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. You're killing yourself. We are hurting ourselves. Don't look. Don't run around where he's going to draw you away. Let me give you number three. We'll see, I guess. A, B, C. Keep the devil and his lies squeezed out of your life. Keep the devil and his lies squeezed out of your life. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place or room, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him enough space to squeeze his little nose in there. The old proverbial adage there was, you know, if you let the camel stick his nose in the tent, before long the whole camel's in there. You ever see those funniest home videos where people go through these drive-through zoos and they leave the windows open or the sunroof open, and here comes this camel or some little thing here, and it's a big old tongue, and all the juices are coming out, and they're looking for it is, and they're saying, oh no, we were watching one the other day, and they got away from them. And I'm saying, close the window. They didn't. It was just last week or so. I thought, oh my soul, how stupid can they be? Close the sunroof. And here he is. He's hanging over there, and all the juices are running all over the place, and his tongue. And they're screaming. And finally, he pulls it out. I said, okay, push it. The other way. Floor it. Let's get out of here. Close the windows. Why don't they close the windows? Folks, close the windows on sin. Don't let it get that close to you. It's just stupid. I'm sorry. It's so unwise. Don't give the devil place. Now, how do you do that? Psalm 119, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By keeping heed unto the word of God. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know what that's saying? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. That's what it's saying. Close the windows. Keep your life full of something else. Listen, I think it's wrong for a church to try to take all your time. Some churches they call them family ministries, and that means that the kids come on Tuesdays and the guys on Thursdays and ladies on Saturday, and they're all apart from each other all the time. I'm not into that. We have a lot of family things. We had a youth activity last night. It's good, once a month. You know, we have a ladies thing, you know, King's Daughters, and we do that four times a year. And we say, well, we ought to do something for the men. You know what? We do it on the same night, so everybody's out the same night. Because I want you to spend time with each other. Not out here, you know, getting away from. You lose that connection. But watch me. the activities you ought to do them someplace they're safe. Like send the teens to the teen activity. They ought to be at the teen activity. You realize that the teen activity, I'm not saying kids can't still do, you know, we're kids and we're pretty smart. We can do what we want to do. But there's less chance they're going to do something wrong than sitting underneath the bleachers at the gate smoking marijuana or something else. Some place where they have a little sense of freedom and yet protected. Don't give place to the devil. Don't listen. Next one. Don't listen to lies. Letter D. Don't listen to lies. Proverbs 2:16 says this. That he gives these words, he gives these proverbs here, watch. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. They go out there, you never see them again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. He says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. That doesn't mean she's quirky. It means she's not your wife. You're not supposed to have anything to do with it. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Go back to the scenario. Having trouble with a wife. Talking to the gal down at the office, and she's listening. And we're talking a while, and after a while she says, you know, you have the prettiest blue eyes. Do you work out? Well, doesn't your wife notice? No, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. Well, you know, if you were my husband, I think you would be a pretty good catch. And you know what that's doing? That's feeding his ego. Oh, my soul. Ken Hardy, you got to get out the door a different way or something. She flatters. Life would be better if I had this rather than that. That's all saying. I deserve more. We deserve death and hell. By grace, we don't have that because we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, the gift of God. Not because we're the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't look. Stay away from people and things that tempt. Keep the devil squeezed out of your life with the word of God. Don't listen to lies. Next one. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Proverbs 6:20 says this. I know I'm getting long here, but we'll get done here. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment. In other words, honor thy father and mother. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of the instructions are the way of life. It'll tell you how to live life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Nothing's new, is it? Verse 26, for by the means of a whorish woman, watch, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Can you be playing around with this gal and not get in trouble? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men, do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungered. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his life. If you steal bread, you know, he's hungry, it's not right, it's wrong, you got to deal with it. Verse 32, but whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He said, you go around playing around with the neighbor's wife or some other woman, you're married, says, you're a few fries short of a happy meal. You've laid too long on one side and your brain done rolled out your ear. You don't know what you're thinking. What are you doing here? He says, he that doeth that destroyeth his own soul. A wound and a dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. He's that guy who ran out on his wife. That's that guy. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. You're going to be in trouble with her husband or somebody, her daddy. You're going to see a shotgun coming up there. You're going to be looking down the wrong end of the shotgun. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Well, hear anybody say, that's not good enough. Stay in the Bible. Stay away from that. Let me give you another one. Got to finish real quick here. Don't allow yourself to be alone with the wrong person. Don't allow yourself to be alone with the wrong person. Sometimes it's inconvenient. I do not counsel ladies alone. I got a window. We put a window in my door when I got here. If I'm at the church, there's going to be a secretary right outside my door. I'm not going to come in here by myself. There's times we've done something. We have a place in our house. It's like a little office, a little living room. Has glass doors on it. If someone has to meet me at my house, it's off hours. My wife's going to be there. The glass doors are there, and I'm going to talk in that little room inside our front door. That's where we're going to do it. Don't allow it. So, well, what a man. Are you some kind of crazy man, some kind of rapist? No, I'm not. But I'm going to stay away from it as far as I can, and even the appearance of evil. This is what it says in Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. Listen to what I'm telling you. Everybody else is doing. No, you listen to me, son. I'm going to save you a lot of heartache. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon the fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, the word of God, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. In other words, take the word of God on your date with you. Take the word of God on your date with you. Just like taking your sister along. That's what it's saying. Take your sister along. Chances are you'll probably not do anything you're not supposed to do. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, a bunch of folks didn't know any better, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding, just wasn't thinking, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of the harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud. She's stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she's without, now in the streets, lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. See, I'm a Christian just like you. I've heard that a bunch of times too. But it's okay. I know we're shacking up, but she's a Christian just like me. Okay, maybe you're saved and going to heaven because we're saved by grace. That doesn't make it right. I have peace offerings. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Boy, I've been looking for you for a long time. Really? I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. I got the candles all lit, got the incense going. And boy, I tell you what, the room's all ready for you. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man's not at home. He's gone a long journey. Husband's not home. He's been away. I think he's never home. He's always at work. By the way, if she'll cheat on a good man of the house, she'll cheat on you. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. It's still his fault. But he was foolish, void of understanding. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it's for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine eye, a heart, decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. I can handle it. No, you can't. Her house is the way of hell, going down to the chambers of death. I got two more real quick. Hang tight with me. Next one. Do whatever you must do, even the drastic, to stay away from sin. Do whatever you must do, even drastic things, if you have to stay away sin. Matthew 5:27 says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lusteth after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Funny how he puts that all together, doesn't he? You can't keep yourself straight because that secretary there, start looking for a new job. Don't go in that room unless somebody else is in that room. Do something. Do not let yourself get near it. You know, we all like to be flattered. We all like to think that we're still a good catch. And we get real custom and real bored. I hate to say it in a negative way. No longer, okay. The shine's worn off. And it looks shiny over here. Don't let yourself go there. Not everything glitters gold, the old saying says. If you have to do something drastic, do something drastic. Now, if you have to do something drastic, you may just up and straighten up and start doing right anyway without having to do that. But if you find you can't keep yourself straight, do something. Do what you have to do. Let me give you another one. Well, let me say a few things along with that. And it goes both ways, but I'm going to say it this way. She doesn't really love you. This strange woman just getting something out of you too. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. You know what that means? You're just another notch on her belt. Ladies, there's a lot of men out there who are just looking for another notch on his belt. If he can't wait, can't keep his hands off of you, we get flattered. The fact is, if he gets mad because you don't, he's not the one you want. Girls, if you've got anybody who says, I'll be your boyfriend, you think you're going to lose him because you won't let him put his hands all over you, he's not the man you want. Not the one you want. Some women, now hang on, ladies. I'm just telling you. You know what it said that she forced him by the flattering words and so forth? Sometimes men are pretty dull. And I'm going to say this. Women sometimes take undue advantage of that. Some women think that only men have a problem with this. Do you realize that both David and Bathsheba committed adultery? David said, against thee and thee only, God, have I sinned. Watch. The woman is looking for something as well. And she thinks, well, as long as I can just entice him and get some attention, I won't go all the way. We're still causing a weak brother to stumble. Women come on with flattering words and seductive appearance. Some women selfishly enjoy making the eyes of men wander. They enjoy getting attention from other guys. That's wrong. They think it validates their womanhood, and since his thoughts are the sin, she somehow thinks she's still free and clear of the actual sin. That's not true. These women are encouraging men to stumble by flaunting the wrong things before their eyes. Now see, we're not guilty. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We are enticed. We're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. You start enticing, you're in on the sin. I think they're actually rejoicing in iniquity. Their foolish thoughts are sin. They're guilty for desiring to have men desire them. They're desiring to have men that they have no right to. Now be careful. I'm not blaming it all on the women here. Guys, you're supposed to keep your eyes in your head and move on. I understand. But women need to be especially careful about being discreet, not flaunting themselves. 1 Timothy 2:9 says, in like manner also the women. And by the way, men, keep your shirt on too. Keep your shirt on. First Timothy 2 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broiled hair, gold or pearls or costly array. It goes on, it says, but with the inner man. It's not saying you can't put those things on, but that's not where the real beauty is. But it also says modest apparel. That word is katastole. Katastole. Kata means violently down. In the Bible, when it says that Jesus cast out the demons and put them into the pigs, and they ran down into the into the ocean, that word, it said they ran violently down into the ocean. That's kata. Stole means long and flowing. Now, that doesn't mean you have to you have to look like a nun. But we also, I'm not expecting you to deny your gender. Just be careful about advertising it. There's other ways of looking feminine. Long and flowing. Sometimes, I've got everybody mad already, but I'm done here. Sometimes, ladies, so as long as everything is covered, it's okay. You know what men like? When I was in school, you don't see this, you don't hear me, you used to go, lady said, man, I just got, does this make my butt look big? Never answer that, guys. But this would make my, the fact is, to a certain extent, the men kind of likes a little bit of shape. To a certain extent. But they want, and I don't want a man, I want a woman. God made us that way, but it's got to be in the right context. And so, ladies, don't advertise. Don't let us see things that only your husband should see. Well, I was out here, my dress was just, my blouse just a little bit, and I just kept having time to keep looking. And look at my eyes are up here. Well, then cover it up. If you don't want anybody to look at it, then cover it up. Well, I don't want you to look at it, but I want him to look at it. Because I'm looking for him. I'm trying to catch him. Nope. Boy, I'm in trouble tonight. The Bible says, in Proverbs 7:10, and behold, there I met him, a woman with the attire of a harlot. You know what that means? There is such a thing. And our society has changed it. I need to give you one more. I know it's late. It's 12 o'clock. I'm going to do this. I wanted to be honest with you. I kind of wanted the teens to be gone before I said this. 1 Corinthians 7, you go back and read it. Let me give you just a couple. I know it's late. I know it's very, 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 very late. But I want, this is important, and you need to see it. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. We got married, we gave ourselves away. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not, in other words, don't advertise something you're not going to deliver.
Defraud ye not one of the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. What's that saying? You want to avoid adultery. He says that's one reason you get married. That's not the only reason to get married. But one reason to get married is for it to multiply. And God made that command enjoyable. It's supposed to be. I know you can't believe what the preacher's saying this, but we've got to understand this. This was God's design. It's a beautiful thing. Man has made it dirty. Man has destroyed it. Man has taken it. There are people who are Christians who are afraid to enjoy their partner because they think anything that has to do with sex is evil. That's not true. That's the way God made you. So you know another way to avoid adultery? Enjoy your spouse often. Often. You need that time. Quiet time. Schedule it if you have to. Put it in your life. Ladies, I'm going to say this. When we got married, I told my wife, of course, the first thing we said was, there's nothing worth arguing over enough to ruin our marriage. If it's going that far, stop. There's nothing worth that. But also, but the other thing was, I said, you realize, you're not going to kick me out of my bedroom and have me go down and sleep on the couch. It ain't going to happen. It's my bedroom too. If you can't stand to sleep next to me, you go down and sleep on the couch. But meantime, we should be making it right. You're not going to put me out of my bed. You're not going to do that. We need time together. So ladies, don't say, well, this is what I want, and until I get what I want, you're sleeping on the couch. You don't hold him hostage that way. You do not own your body. He does. But man, you don't own your body. She does. It goes both ways. Now, on the other hand, we should love one another and be considerate, not demanding, not anything done out of pure lust, but out of love. It's a proper relationship. It's the way God designed it. So you need to keep your relationship with your spouse in good shape. And the chances are you won't have a lot of problem with this other stuff, somebody wandering eye, wandering thought. I need to stop. I hope this has helped. We need, listen, this is a very important part of life. It's really, the marriage relationship is the foundation of society as God has designed it. And when we mess with that, we're going to cause a lot of problems from the ground up. We wonder why we have kids who don't know how to live life, don't know this, don't know. They need to start with the parents. They don't know whether daddy's coming home tonight or mom, you know, mama has five husbands. No husbands, there's five daddies. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I want to save you. Start today. Do it God's way. For then thou shalt have good success. You'll make your way prosperous. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I appreciate these folks being very, very patient. Lord, use these things to speak to our hearts. I ask you, I plead with you. Heads are bowed.